another brand new edition of T Watches a Scary Movie. My name is T, and of course, we are talking scary movies. I appreciate you tuning in for another brand new episode. Remember, new episodes always go up every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, but I always release more reviews throughout the week, and the best way to stay up to date with all the reviews that are coming out for you guys is to get subscribed to the Linktree. You can do that by going to linktr.ee/tscarymovie. And if you go there, that gives you access to the YouTube page for the video versions of the show, to all your favorite podcasting platforms, the audio-only versions of the show, to my TikTok page for my horror short videos I'm putting out, and to my Letterboxd for my written reviews and my horror movie rankings throughout the year. So hit that subscribe button. And if you are watching through YouTube, hit subscribe there as well too, folks, because again, I got so much great horror content coming out for y'all here, including, again, reviews for Late Night with the Devil, Frogman, and Sting coming up very, very soon for you all. But what are we talking about here tonight? Folks, we are getting into Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. This is the fifth and latest entry in the Ghostbusters saga that just debuted in theaters after, most recently, Ghostbusters Afterlife. And that is what I'm going to be discussing with you here tonight. So let's just jump right on into it. Now, I'm going to start here with just a little bit of Ghostbusters Afterlife. For those of y'all who have not seen this yet, what Afterlife told in its story was the tale of the Spangler family, that Egon Spangler had a daughter who in turn had kids of her own, and then choosing to focus on his work as a Ghostbuster and, of course, stop evil threats from coming to the world, wasn't so involved in his daughter and his grandchildren's life. And therefore, after Egon passes away, his daughter and her kids are move off to Egon's farmhouse out in Nebraska, I believe it is, where they have to fight a revived Gozer, who again is causing the same havoc that Gozer had going on in New York. Now, the end of that film set up that Winston Zeddemore, who is now a rich philanthropist, was going to bankroll the new team of Ghostbusters as they reclaim the firehouse, they reclaim the Ecto-1, they reclaim everything in the Ghostbusters legacy. And it looks like that the Spangler family will be operating out of New York. And that's where we pick up at here with Frozen Empire, as that's exactly what's going on. Turns out that the Spangler family and Mr. Gruberson have moved back to New York. They're now operating out of the famous Ghostbusters firehouse and trying to run the Ghostbusters as a business. Now, from the jump, this is honestly one of the most interesting and fun parts about the film, because even with Ghostbusters 2 giving us like another one of the montages showing them back in business after the court case and running through cases, it wasn't really that different from the montage we got in the original Ghostbusters film after they finally catch their first ghost and people realize that they're legit. So what was nice about Frozen Empire, I thought, was that we actually got to see the Ghostbusters running as an operation, to where, like, consistently throughout the film, before like the big bad shows up, they're constantly going on jobs, and jobs that we're not even focused on. Like, we get to see one in the beginning, but as the movie keeps on going, there's consistent calls with the Ghostbusters coming out. And I really, really enjoyed that aspect, because again, we've seen them on all of that. We kind of just want to see what life is like when the Ghostbusters are just out doing their job normally. And it's already been said, and I've talked about it before here, that this film seemed like it was going to have very much in common with real Ghostbusters, the old cartoon that I think a lot of us got to grow up on and really got us immersed in Ghostbusters culture. And that one aspect of just having the Ghostbusters constantly out on calls throughout this movie, I thought that very, very much was in line with what the cartoon brought to us as well, too. Now, In terms of the story for this one, the idea is that while the Spangler family is trying to make this work, they're now dealing with Phoebe Spangler, played by McKenna Grace, kind of growing more and more and wanting to be involved and wanting to do the job that she rightfully has a claim to do after saving everybody's life in the previous film. But we have to remember she still is a teenager, and that these are particle accelerators that they're carrying on their back. They're working with a lot of dangerous weaponry, and something that's been very, very apparent recently in like a lot of superhero movies movies is the damage that these guys are doing as they're trying to save the city. It's not just, oh, all right, cool, we walk away. There's no harm, no foul. Somebody will pay for that. It's somebody really has to take care of that. And that harkens back to the original Ghostbuster movies as well, to where it was a whole thing to where they saved the world, everything was fine. But Ghostbusters 2 pretty much tells us that from them saving the world, they got sued, they got blamed for everything, and they lost a lot of money. And so I love the idea that that's kind of coming right back around, that it doesn't matter that the Ghostbusters are doing good, there are consequences to their action. And the consequences of this is that Phoebe can't be a Ghostbuster. She's underage and they're doing dangerous work, and she can't very well be in that. And that gives her this crisis, because she knows she should be on the team. She knows what she contributes, but she doesn't know what her place is if she's not a Ghostbuster. And that puts her into harm's way as she becomes friends with a ghost named Melody, played by Emily Allen Lind, who you might know from Dr. Sleep or The Babysitter, who has maybe some more nefarious intentions than what she's initially letting on. I thought, honestly, this is where Frozen Empire dropped the ball quite a bit. You know, Afterlife, like it or hate it, was very different in certain aspects to the three Ghostbusters films that preceded it, because it had a very, very huge emotional aspect to it. Like, the big part of this movie was the fact that Carrie Coon's character, Callie Spencer, Egon's daughter, she didn't have that relationship with her father. She resented her father. She was mad at her father for the childhood that she had, and there needed to be some kind of reconciliation there. And then with Callie's kids, you know, the two of them not really understanding why their lives are changed so much by the actions of their grandfather and their mother as well. And it was this whole thing to where they needed to get that peace of mind. They needed to be able to get that reconciliation with Egon. And that drove so much of the film to where, I mean, I talked about it in my review that I absolutely cried during my first watch of that movie. It's a very, very emotional film. And the previous three Ghostbusters never really explored that. And I don't say that in a bad way at all, because I think those movies are hilarious, and that includes Ghostbusters Answer the Call. You know, these movies are very much horror comedies, and they go more so on the comedy side, and they're not dealing a lot of times with a lot of like heightened emotional like tension in these films. And Afterlife brought that, and I honestly thought that'd be a great path for them to forge, for them to continue on with. But unfortunately, Frozen Empire lets that down, and we kind of go to just a run of the mill story. And I don't mean that negatively, but it's kind of like, if Afterlife didn't exist, then the story that they're telling in Frozen Empire would be a lot better. But because Afterlife is there, and we had all these emotional stakes in that, it unfortunately hurts Frozen Empire quite a bit, because it's like we're going back to the status quo. And there's hints of it, because we get to see that with the Gruberson, played by Paul Rudd, trying to connect more with Phoebe as his new role in the Spangler family. And I very much like those threads they were putting out, but they just didn't pull at them enough, and the ultimate payoff just kind of felt very, very rushed, honestly. Like, we didn't really get what I felt we deserved from, again, the emotional highs that Afterlife set up. And that was really my biggest issue with the film, and unfortunately it is a big one, because it just brings down my enjoyment of this compared to the other movies. Like, this movie is absolutely an episode of Real Ghostbusters, from just the random villain that has nothing to do with Gozer at all, from Peck showing up, from the way that they set up the older Ghostbusters and how they're now established in this world. This felt like world building, and honestly, I really, really do hope that this film actually is a smash hit, because while the way that the plot went in this wasn't the best for me in terms of emotional stakes, I think that now that I'm used to what these movies can end up being, the next one, if it were to do this again, I'd understand it, and it'd probably be a lot better at that point. Now, beyond that, again, everything else is so much fun. We get Slimer back in it, Peck's back in it, we get all these various ghosts and scenes of them testing out new technology and new characters that are added in, and it all fits extremely well. The fun of Ghostbusters is absolutely still there. It's a very, very funny movie as well, too, and a very interesting point that I noticed about it that harkens back to the original Ghostbusters. So, as much as we hate William Atherton as Walter Peck, we do, we hate him. The thing is that his character wasn't necessarily in the wrong in the first movie, because he brings up a really, really good point that what the Ghostbusters are doing is basically having this effect on the world. Like, it's escalation, like they talk about in superhero movies. Like, by the existence of you, this is happening just by you guys doing this. And he's not wrong. And while, yes, he shut down the trap, and yes, that is referenced in this movie as well, too, that it was his negligence that led to the events of Gozer and Zool and everything at the towards the end of the first movie, he wasn't wrong where he was coming from. And one thing I always worried about in the first film was that they make it very clear they are not disposing of these ghosts. These ghosts are going to the trap like the Phantom Zone in Superman, and they're just staying there until they figure something else out. But is that trap finite? And I'd always wondered about it, because that's exactly how Gozer was able to get away with all this shit, is that once they like opened up the master trap at that point, it released all this like psychic or all this ghostly energy. And that's a big plot point of this, not to do with Gozer, but that's a big plot point here of Frozen Empire, that okay, well, you can't just keep stockpiling ghosts and like in this one trap. At some point, it's going to get full, and that's going to cause a problem. And I love that that's being addressed, because again, it brings it back around to Peck, to where Peck's an asshole and we don't like Peck, but especially in this movie, he's not saying anything wrong. Like, we love Phoebe and we want her to be a part of the team, but what he's telling the Spanglers and what his issues are with the way the Ghostbusters do business, it's not wrong. It's really, really not wrong. So I just found that super, super interesting. But folks, this film, again, it's still a lot of fun. If you are looking to just enjoy a Ghostbusters movie, you're going to enjoy this, okay? The folks out there just absolutely trashing it, come on, have some fun. I don't think this film is a fan service film, okay? We're not just throwing all a million things in there, be like, ah, Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters. Like, it is a very, very competent film for sure. But if you're like me and you're a big fan of Afterlife, you're just not going to get that same feeling that you had with that. So either way, let me know in the comments what you thought of this one here. Did you like Frozen Empire? Did you hate it? Did you get that feeling of real Ghostbusters from it? And most of all, do you think you agree with what I said about the emotional connection that Afterlife had that this film unfortunately dropped the ball with? Let me know in that comment section, y'all. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, because I got way more content coming for you. And that's gonna do it for me tonight, y'all. My name is T. We've been talking scary movies. Stay scared. Hey everybody, looking for a great way to stay up to date on horror news as well as read the best of articles on anything scary out in the world right now? Then you need to head over to the Fangoria shop and get yourself a subscription. If you go to shop.fangoria.com/axdw, you can use my own personalized 20% discount to save 20% off on Fangoria magazine subscriptions, as well as 20% off any other items in their fantastic shop. This is a great deal. If you've ever been wanting to get yourself a subscription, now is the time to do so. Head to shop.fangoria.com/axdew.